morning and welcome to Wellspring, a service of Spectrum Health Zealand Community Hospital on 1450 WHTC, your hometown station.
Here's Sarah Dunkersloot.
Thanks, Duke. Good morning and welcome to Wellspring, a live broadcast sponsored by Spectrum Health Zealand Community Hospital. March is National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. This morning, my guest is Dr. Liberty Hoberman, a general surgeon with Liberty Surgical Associates in Holland, who's here to talk about the ins and outs of having a colonoscopy. And she and I joked this morning, Juke, that she's here on location because she's had a busy morning. So she's not in the studio, but she's joining us by phone. Hi, Dr. Hoberman. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well. We've had a great morning taking off polyps and saving lives.
Saving lives, and that's what it's all about. And really appreciate your willingness to be here via phone because I know you have a busy schedule hoping to save some lives. Tell us a little bit about yourself for people that may have not heard you when you've been on the show before.
Oh, thanks, Sarah. You bet. I'm a general surgeon. I'm in private practice, and I serve both the Zealand-Holland communities. And part of my job as a general surgeon is to do colonoscopies. So that's a big part of my patient population. And, you know, I've had colleagues and friends say, gosh, is that a part of your job you really, you know, enjoy doing? And it is. There is nothing better than removing a polyp and essentially saving a patient from having a colon cancer. And that's the way we really need to look at this procedure. And so hopefully that's encouraging to patients.
You know, before we talk about having a colonoscopy, let's clarify what we're talking about when we speak about the colon.
Yeah, the colon is also called the large intestine. Sometimes that can be confusing for patients. And it's really the part of our digestive tract that's main job is to remove or concentrate water from our liquid stool.
You know, you talked this morning that you've been removing some polyps. What are polyps?
Great, yeah. Polyps are an abnormal growth in the lining of the colon wall. And those growths can be benign, non-cancerous, but they can also be precancerous or cancerous growths.
And do we know how they grow, Dr. Hoberman?
Well, there are lots of things that we think do attribute to colon polyp growth, and some of it may be familial or genetic factors. Other things can be contributed, we think, by the American diet. So it's multifactorial. And so the general recommendations have boiled down that men and women should start their colonoscopy screening at about age 50.
And when you go in, then you're looking for those polyps, aren't you?
Correct.
And you mentioned that if someone has a family history, you know, you talked about someone having it at age 50. What if there's a family history that someone has had colon cancer?
Right. So if a close relative has had colon cancer, then we look at doing the individual patient screening sooner. Usually we'll say about 10 years younger than the individual who has had the cancer. So, for instance, if your father had colon cancer at age 55, then you should start your screening by age 45.
And what if you've had a different type of cancer?
You know, yeah, if you have a personal history of some other kind of cancer, I think that's a good discussion to have with your family physician because there are some clusters of syndromes and disease processes and cancers that we may say that we want to check your colon at an earlier age than age 50.
So we're going to talk about, you know, the going in and having a colonoscopy. But first of all, I want to say if they aren't removed, what can happen?
Well, those polyps, we think the adenomatous polyps or the precancerous polyps can over time go on to grow into a true colon cancer. So we want to get them out when they're small and when they're easily removed through our colonoscope or through our camera.
And how prevalent is colorectal cancer?
Well, the statistics will tell us about 150,000 Americans are diagnosed each year, and about 50,000 a year die from the disease.
And really, it is one of the preventable cancers, isn't it?
It sure is. When we start those colonoscopies, when we watch family histories and decide when we need to intervene, it can be very, very preventable.
You know, I think many people are afraid to have a colonoscopy because they hear about the horrible prep.
Yes. Isn't that true?
Did you hear Juke? He said yes, too. But talk a little bit about that.
Right. Well, you know, and I think if we face it, everybody's had a bad bout of diarrhea, and that's all a bowel prep is going to give you. And this one at least is predictable, and it's pretty limited, and it's one bout of diarrhea that really could save your life. At Liberty Surgical, we try and pride ourselves in our kinder, gentler bowel prep, and that prep is really just a combination of medications to help give you diarrhea to clear that colon of any stool that might be stuck to the walls, because really our colonoscopy is only as good as the prep. And so if there's stool or vegetable material, you know, on the wall of your colon, we're going to miss those small polyps. And sometimes we can't get our camera all the way through the colon and around to get a good enough evaluation.
Okay, you talked about, you know, a kinder, gentle prep or the prep that you offer to your patients. Walk us what that would be.
Sure. So we use 64 ounces of a sports drink, something like Gatorade or Propel, and then we mix a medication into that called Miralax and give patients a combination of some little laxative pills. And between the two things, the laxative pills and the drink, we actually get the colon squeezing and moving the contents through, and the sports drink with that volume helps kind of mechanically cleanse and push the stool through to get the walls clean. And it's hopefully less crampy. There have been preparations in the past that patients just get so very cramped with.
And when do people start that prep?
Well, we usually ask them to start in the late afternoon, somewhere between 3 and 5, the day before their procedure. And that way it kind of ensures that the majority of time their stooling is done by the time they go to bed.
And, of course, what about diet prior to that time? Is it helpful to kind of change your diet so that it occurs more quickly?
Sure. And so, you know, if you've got a history of constipation, please tell your endoscopist or the office when you're scheduling, because sometimes we make allowances for that constipation and can change things the few days before your prep. We do ask that you avoid nuts and seeds and things that are hard to clear from the colon wall or that could plug our colonoscopy scope. And then for my patients, we do allow them to eat certain food items the day before their colonoscopy prep that are very low in fiber and that their body will break down and pass through. But that's something unique to my office, and other offices may tell patients that they don't want them to have anything but clear liquids the day before the colonoscopy prep. So they'll send you instructions, but if it's the question of can you eat, it really does depend on which endoscopist does your procedure.
So what should you do if you take the prep and nothing happens?
Right, good question. Usually it will, but we do say if in the first 3 to even 5 hours nothing is happening, do give the surgeon or the endoscopist's office a call that's doing your procedure, because sometimes we need to add more medication to get your colon jump-started.
What if you're on a medication or you have a chronic disease? Does that change the prep that you should be taking?
It often can. So absolutely, we want to make sure that we know our patient's past medical history and do they have any issues with heart disease, any fluid restrictions, diabetes, problems maintaining their potassium levels. Those are all things that we take into consideration when performing the colonoscopy and deciding which prep they should take.
So let's talk about the procedure. Where do you perform colonoscopies?
I perform them weekly at both Zeeland and Holland Hospital, and we say to patients if they haven't had their first colonoscopy by age 50 and they're interested, then they need to just request a referral from their primary care physician.
Okay, so let's kind of walk through the whole process of having a colonoscopy. The person has taken the prep, and they come into the hospital. What's going to happen on the day of the procedure?
Well, they're going to get checked in, and they'll meet an endoscopy nurse, and they'll review patient's history. They'll get them comfortable in a gown, start an IV. And if anesthesia is going to give you your medication for sedation or to relax you during the procedure, then you'll meet an anesthesia physician. And then you'll also meet the doctor performing the exam.
Do you meet with your patient prior to the procedure?
I do. Right before we go back to the room, we go through the procedure at length. I usually like to draw them a picture of the colon and explain that it's shaped like an upside-down U and that we're going to use this long, flexible camera because your colon's about 5 feet long. So it's a long camera, and we actually push that through the center of the colon and around the twists and the turns while they're asleep so that we can get a look at the entire length of the colon wall, all the way from the left side to the right side.
And you're looking for polyps. What do polyps look like?
They just look like a little bump or a growth on the edge of the colon wall. Sometimes they're flat. Sometimes they're on a little stalk and look like a little piece of cauliflower. And then we're also looking, too, for other pathology or disease in the colon, like areas of redness, inflammation, diverticulosis, those little outpouchings or weakness of the colon. So we do get a chance to see for other processes just besides the polyps.
What if an abnormality is identified? What are you going to do then?
Well, we're going to try and take care of it right there at the time of the colonoscopy. So if we see a polyp, we have a little device that goes right through the center of the camera that can actually take the polyp and snip it or pull it off the edge of the colon. If we see an area of redness or inflammation, we'll sample that area. So we're going to try and take care of everything right then and there while you're asleep.
When you talk about being asleep, are you completely out?
Well, we talk about the goal of the sedation is really just to keep the patient in kind of this twilight awareness so that really they're breathing on their own, but they're sedated, they're comfortable, they don't feel any of the crampiness in their abdomen from the air or from the camera moving, and then that sedation is decreased as the procedure ends. So really at the end, they're a little groggy, but they're waking up, talking with us, and then can hopefully get home and back to their life pretty quickly.
Yeah, I can remember. Juke, you've had a colonoscopy and me yes. too. I remember just going into the room, and then the next thing I knew, I was back in my room, and the procedure had been completed. So you really don't remember anything that's going on.
Nope, and your recovery, you know, may just be a half an hour to an hour there at the hospital.
How long does a procedure usually take?
Well, again, it's going to depend on biopsies and the patient's colon, but it can be anywhere from 20 minutes, you know, upwards to an hour.
Okay, so let's say now we're finished with the procedure and we're back in our room. How is a person going to feel after they've had a colonoscopy? You know, you alluded to the fact that you're inserting air. Is somebody going to feel like cramping or, you know, that air is all in their stomach?
Sure. So we put air inside the colon to kind of straighten out the wrinkles, make it easier for the camera to move around the bends and the turns. And as we take the camera out, we're going to try and suck as much of that air out as we can, but we never get all of it. So patients will feel gassy. They'll feel a little bloated the day of their colonoscopy. But the best thing is when they're able to get up, walk around, pass that gas, they'll certainly feel better. And we really don't put any restrictions on what they're able to eat. It's just as long as they feel comfortable and don't have any nausea from the sedation, then they can resume a pretty normal diet.
And when can someone go back to work?
Well, we usually recommend because of the sedation that they take the day of the colonoscopy off work and certainly don't drive. So most people are going back to work the next day.
And, you know, in terms of if you would find something abnormal, I mean, you're going to meet with your patient after you do the colonoscopy and hopefully the report is going to be, you know, everything looks good.
Correct. If they have no family history of colon cancer and they have no polyps, then we'll recommend a repeat in 10 years, unless their family history or their personal history changes. If we take out polyps, we're going to have to wait several days to get that pathology report back. And so for my patients, I end up sending them a letter or we call them to let them know what those polyps revealed. And then based on the type of polyps and the number, then we'll make a recommendation when they need a repeat exam. And that can be anywhere from 3 to 5 years when we remove polyps.
What can people do to decrease the risk of developing colon cancer?
Well, you know, for all of us, it's those general health things that we say, a high-fiber diet, low-fat, do the healthy things that we need to, limiting alcohol and regular activity. And then, too, I think it's really important to know our family history because that's a big part of prevention, to know when we need to be watched closer.
And really, the message in Colorectal Awareness Month is to have a colonoscopy.
That's it. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you very much, Dr. Homer. And Dr. Homerman, you mentioned earlier that people have to have a referral. Do they need a referral? If someone's listening and they're saying, you know, I need to have a colonoscopy, can they call your office directly?
Absolutely, and we can help step through their insurance carrier and if we need that referral from that primary doctor and how to proceed from there.
And what is the number there where people can call you?
616-738-0470 at Liberty Surgical Associates.
Thanks so much, Dr. Hoberman, and go save a life.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We appreciate Dr. Hoberman being with us. She is with Liberty Surgical Associates, and as she said, she performs colonoscopies and other general surgery. And the message that we want to give today, if you're listening, if you're over 50, go have a colonoscopy. It could save a life. To schedule an appointment or to find more information from Dr. Hoberman, you can call her at 738-0470. That's 738-0470. Until next week, Zeeland Community Hospital wishes you well.